Amen. Thank you, Kevin. Jesus said, they sell them down at the market two for a penny. But he said, not one of them falls to the ground without the knowledge of your Heavenly Father. And he said, you're worth more than many sparrows. ADD is something we hear about a lot in the news now. And, of course, the schools deal with it continually. And it's something that's been around a long, long time. It's just that now we have a name for it. We do have a scripture reading today, and it is, we have a responsive reading. I imagine it'll be on the screen. And all of these are from the book of Hebrews. So if you would stand with me in honor of God's word. As always, I'll read the light print. I'll ask you to read the dark print, and I'll join you on that final verse. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things and through whom He made the universe. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away.
For every message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation?
This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard Him.
God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will.
We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn.
In fact, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word.
You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that You have given us Your Word, and You have given us Your Word for a purpose, and it is that our lives might be transformed, that we might know You, that we might come into a daily and personal and close relationship with You, and that we might have the tools that we need and the equipment that we need to live victorious lives regardless of what we face or deal with, and in the process bring glory to You and in such a way that others will be brought to You. And so, Lord, thank You for Your Word, because it is the tool that You use in our lives in order to bring us to, first to salvation and then to make us into the image of Your Son. And so we pray that we will not neglect Your Word, but that we will be looking into it intently to the point, Lord, that it may be our source of knowledge, that it may be that which we consult continually, Lord, that we may indeed experience all of the things that You have for us, and that Your work of righteousness might have its full and complete work in us. It is indeed a tool, and You are using it constantly in our lives in order to mold us and make us and bring us, Lord, into Your image, into what You would have us to be. So we pray now, Lord, as Your people, that You will cause us to have a greater love, desire for, and appreciation for Your Word than we have ever had, and that by it we may be strengthened, we may be instructed, and we may, Lord, bring honor and glory to You. Now we pray that you will bless your word, for it is by your inspiration, and we ask it in Jesus' holy and wonderful name. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. ADD, attention deficit disorder. ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, whatever. These are terms that we hear a lot now, and educators will tell you it's a real problem because children with ADD don't learn the way that they should. And if they don't learn the way that they should, then they're going to be held back in the short term from advancing. And in the long term, they're going to be held back in life itself because they're not going to be able to qualify for the jobs and they're not going to be able to function even as adults in the way that they should if the ADD goes unattended. And as we spoke last week, there is a spiritual parallel to every natural truth. And so there are those of us who suffer from spiritual ADD. And the Hebrews, these Hebrews to whom the writer here is addressing, it's the main book in the New Testament that its authorship is somewhat in doubt. And we won't get into all that. Some think it was Paul, some think it was Apollos, some think it was Barnabas, and there are all kinds of ideas about who wrote this book. I don't know who wrote it, but I know it's inspired by God. And I know it has a wonderful message, and it has a lot of deep teaching in it. And as you read the book of Hebrews, I don't know if you've read it recently, but I'll tell you again, the book of Hebrews is a mixture of teaching, warnings, and encouragements. So there'll be some teaching, then there'll be a warning. There'll be some teaching, and there'll be an encouragement. There'll be some more teaching, and then there'll be another warning. And that is the pattern of the book. And the book was written in order to fortify and strengthen the faith of the Hebrew believers who had been scattered, who had been persecuted, who had confronted all kinds of difficulties and temptations, many of them thrown from their homes, stripped of their jobs, and many, many other things. But now the thing that was putting them in jeopardy of renouncing the faith and returning to Judaism was not those externals, but just the fact that they were all of a sudden not able to deal with things as they had before. They were getting discouraged. They were getting tired. They were beginning to feel worn down and wondering if it was worth it all. Does that describe anybody here today? And I imagine we have all been in those situations at one time or another. And really, it struck me in the last few weeks as I was reading this and thinking about this that really the problem of the Hebrew believers was attention deficit disorder. And the reason that we know that is because of what the writer of the book says to them. And after he's given the introduction, he says, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we will not drift away. And some other translations say, so that we will not let them, being the things we have been taught, slip or slip away. Whichever it is. The point is that we've got to pay more careful attention because if we don't, we will drift and we will slip away. How many here have heard me say many times, and certainly not original with me, that we're all leaky buckets? We hear the Word of God, but it has a way of leaking. And so the way you take care of that is that you keep pouring it in faster than what it's leaking. And we have to pay more careful attention, too, to what we're hearing, because it really does. A lot of things we hear just kind of go in one ear and out the other. And almost every problem we face in the Christian life is due to attention deficit disorder. We haven't really been listening, and therefore we haven't really been applying. And so now, all of a sudden, we're facing a problem. Not the first time, Maybe not even the worst problem we've ever faced, but this time it's harder. This time we're struggling. This time we're discouraged. This time we're distracted. This time we're wondering if it's worth it. It's because of attention deficit disorder. It's because we haven't been really paying attention to the Word of God. I mean, these children with ADD, they're in the classroom, and the teacher is teaching. And they've got all the same tools and all the same things available to them. The problem isn't in the classroom or in the teacher, it's in the child. And our problems as we deal with things this way and struggle with things, it's not in the preaching, although I know in every church there are those who think it is. And it's not in the teaching, and it's not in the Word, and it's not even in the worship service, even if the form of the service isn't exactly the form that pleases us the most. Oh, no, no, no. The reason we're struggling and having problems isn't any of that. It's because of attention deficit disorder. And let's just go back now and let's fill in some blanks here. There's a whole bunch of them, so I hope you're ready if you're one of those that we're going to make you work today. Let's just go through some of these. These are just a few effects of attention deficit disorder, spiritual attention deficit disorder. Number one, it's the number one reason people fail to grow spiritually is inattention to God's Word. I'm calling it inattention, lack of really paying attention. Inattention to the Word of God. The number one reason people fail to grow spiritually is inattention to the Word of God. Now, I've seen people that have come to the Lord, and in the first few months, they memorized whole blocks of Scripture, and they can spout it off to you. Let me tell you, it is wonderful to hide God's Word in our heart, and we want everybody to do it, and the Bible says we to do it, and that's what Awana is about, is for our children to be able to hide God's Word in their heart. However, being able to spout off a memory verse or a Bible verse is not the same thing as really knowing what it means and really following it and doing what it says. Can I hear an amen? It's not the same thing. And so we can know it, and we can even repeat it back and still be in a state of ADD because we are not really paying attention. And when we don't grow spiritually. So then we wonder, well, why am I not growing spiritually? Well, the reason we're not growing spiritually is we're not really paying attention to the Word of God. It's not the same thing to be a hearer of the Word as to be a doer of the Word. That's what John tells us in the very next book. He says we're just like people that go and look in the mirror and admire how pretty we are, and then we walk away, and the next minute we can't even remember what we look like. He said, you've got to gaze at it. You've got to continue to gaze at it and keep your focus on it if you're going to really put it into practice and benefit from it. Because he said, it's not the hearers of the Word. So, inattention to God's Word. We can be under the Word. We can be hearing the Word. We can be enjoying the Word. We can be agreeing with the Word. That's not the same thing as following through on the Word and doing the Word. And so, when we are inattentive to God's Word, maybe we even talk about it, but if we're not really following it and looking deeper and really, really say, okay, I need to do that, and I need to start doing something about that, then we're not really paying attention. And so then we don't grow spiritually, and then we wonder why. The number one reason people fail to grow spiritually is inattention to the Word of God. Number two, the number one cause of weak or fluctuating faith, the number one cause of weak or fluctuating faith is what? Inattention to the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I can't have my faith at the level that it needs to be unless I have daily doses of vitamin W, the Word of God, and I gotta take them. And that will fortify me, and it will strengthen my faith. But if I'm just hearing it but not really paying attention, if it's not really getting through, then my faith is going to be weak and it's going to be fluctuating. Number three, the number one reason people stumble and fall in their spiritual walk. You fall into temptation. You fall into sin. You know it's wrong and you seem powerless to do anything about it. The number one reason people stumble and fall in their spiritual walk is inattention to the Word of God. God's Word, if I follow it, will keep me from falling. It is a lamp to my feet. It is a light to my path. And it will keep me from falling. It's always worked, and it still works today. But I've got to be in God's Word, and I've got to be paying attention to God's Word. I'm amazed at the amount of debris that I find on the local roadways now. When you go out there, are there obstacles out there? If you don't really look, listen, walking, and listen, walking from here to Ohio Street, the sidewalk is so uneven that if I don't pay attention, I'll stub my toe and fall headlong. That's how uneven these sidewalks are down here. Mary O'Leary needs to call the city. But we have to pay attention. And that's the number one reason we stumble and fall. We're not paying attention. We go to church on Sunday. Oh, that was wonderful. That's good. And then the rest of the week, we don't pay any attention. Number four, the number one reason people drift, grow cold, and lose their fire. The number one reason people drift. Do people drift? Oh, we haven't seen so-and-so in a while. I wonder what's going on with them. The reason people drift, grow cold, and lose their fire. You know, so-and-so used to really be on fire for God, and now it's like they're cold. And it's happened to some of us before. The number one reason is inattention to the Word of God. Number five, the number one reason people fall into false teaching and are led astray is inattention to the Word of God. If you don't really know your Word and you're not really into your Word and some Jehovah's Witness or Mormon or somebody else comes to your door and they've got all these high-powered arguments and all this and you're not really been paying attention to the Word of God, the next thing you know, you begin to wonder and you're like, I wonder if they could be right or this or that. And I've seen people that were we thought strong Christians, and they've been deceived by this stuff and led astray. But it won't happen if we're paying proper attention to the Word of God. God's Word. The number one reason people fall into false teaching and are led astray is inattention to the Word of God. Number six, the number one reason our lives don't matter, better match what we profess. The number one reason our lives don't better match what we profess is our inattention to the Word of God. Because we're hearing the Word of God, but we're not necessarily really following it. And so often there's a gap between what we believe, profess, represent, attest to, and all of that, and our actual lives as we live them before people. And you've probably heard people say, well, you know, that person, I mean, that I just heard an example this week of a upward basketball program, and recently some of the games have been getting a little bit, shall we say, what we call dirty, employing dirty tactics, and there's somebody in the crowd, and they're encouraging all this, and then at break time, they get up and give a little talk about how much they love God and all of this, and then they go right back to their seat, call their child over, and give them instructions to do two or three questionable things in the game. The reason there is a gap between what we profess and our lives is inattention to the Word of God. Number seven, the reason we get quickly distracted and discouraged, you know, by difficulties, circumstances, life. Is life full of difficulties? Absolutely. I mean, I see it every single day. I mean, I really, you know, my heart goes out to people, because right here in this congregation, I mean, we have people and we're like, you know, how much more, you know, and there's this and there's that and there's the other. But the reason we get distracted and the reason we get discouraged is our inattention to the Word of God. It is impossible for me to be fully focused on the Word of God, fully trusting it, fully believing it, fully following it, and be distracted or become discouraged. It's not possible. Number 8. The number one reason we are wishy-washy. I didn't make that word up, by the way, it is in the dictionary. The number one reason we are wishy-washy, and I use it because it says it better than the others. We are wishy-washy and spineless in our dealings with the world is our inattention to the Word of God. We're quickly intimidated. We're quickly made to shut up in the workplace and not speak our testimony. Or we're quickly intimidated by a family member or somebody that we would not speak the Word of God. I don't believe we ought to go around pointing the finger and making great accusations and beating people over the head with the Word of God. But I also believe that we need to stand for what we believe and let everybody know that we serve the Lord. Can I hear an amen? And the number one reason we don't is our inattention to the Word of God. We're weak because we haven't been having our daily doses of God's Word to get us pumped up. And so when the trial comes, we just kind of fold. It's a shame. Number 9. The reason we don't better understand and grasp God's truth. And that goes back to number 1, the spiritual growth part. The reason we can't really grasp it, we hear it, we hear the words, we know what the words mean, but don't really grasp the kernel of the truth, is our inattention to the Word of God. Let me read you a few little excerpts here from the book of Hebrews. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels, now he's talking about the Old Testament law and the Old Testament prophets and all that, was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? And I put in here other words from a Greek lexicon. If we neglect is what it says in the King James. Yeah, a lot of times it's just neglect. We're not totally ignoring it, but we're neglecting it. And I think that's really the better translation. We neglect, are careless of, or regard not such a great salvation. We get lax, okay? We get lax. How many here have ever gotten lax before? I have to put myself in that as well. Sure, we do sometimes. And when we do, we pay the price. Hebrews 5:11, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain. The NIV says, because you are slow to learn. But in the King James it says, which is closer to the Greek, since you have become dull of hearing. You have become dull of hearing. So it's inattention. We're just not really paying attention. And he says, there's a lot of things I'd like to say to you, but you can't even get them because you've become dull of hearing. And then later he says, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Let's get past these things and go on to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. And God permitting, we will do so. Hebrews 6:11, we want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy. See what he is saying to the Hebrew believers? You've gotten lazy. But to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Now I'm going to read it to you from the literal word-for-word translation. But we desire each of you to show the same eagerness. the opposite of like laziness or inattention, to the full assurance of the hope unto the end, lest dull, slow, sluggish, indolent, languid ye become, but imitators of the ones through faith and long-suffering inheriting the promises. So there he is. That's what we want for each one of you, he says. Every single one of you. And that's what the Lord wants for each and every one of us. Every single one of us. You say, well, I don't read that well. Well, read. The way you get better at reading is reading. Read. Hey, three words out of this book here sometimes will fix a whole problem in your life. It really will. So, let's do it. Hebrews 10:35, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. See, they were weak in confidence because they had been inattentive to the Word of God. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Hebrews 12:4, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And he's talking about Jesus and how he struggled there to the point of sweating blood there in the garden. And he says, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. You've forgotten that word of encouragement. Why? Because you've been inattentive. And so you have forgotten it. You knew it, but and you know it mentally, but you've forgotten it. And then he ends here in Hebrews 12:12, therefore strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. How do we do that? By getting right back into the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this. This is something to look at later in the week. But paying attention means, among other things, number one, we listen attentively. You ever been talking to your child and you realize they're not even paying attention? By the way, Johnny, look at me. Look at me. And then you get their attention. What would happen if you didn't do that? They'd never get it. My own wife does that with me. Are you listening? Do you really have it? I need these three items from Food Lion. Do you really have them? Say them back to me now. I'm probably the only husband here that ever happens to. Step number one, we listen attentively. That's step, but that's only step number one. Number two, we study, dig, research, focus, meditate. I was so blessed by Orlando's son-in-law, who is a young minister in the town where we lived. And he only has, he doesn't own, I don't think, a concordance, and most of them don't. They can't get those books down there. He has four or five little books on Bible teaching and stuff there in his little stand there in his living room, and he treasures and values those books. He has taught himself to learn English by reading it and studying it and listening to English programming on the shortwave radio. And he was constantly asking me questions because he's so thirsty for more knowledge of the Word of God, because there's a hunger. And that is what will lead us. And Sunday morning sermons by themselves and even Sunday school classes aren't enough to get us the doses of God's Word that we need. Did you hear what I just said? It's not enough. Some of you are involved in Bible study during the week, and that's a very good practice. And I know that time is always a challenge, and I know it's difficult. But we got to do it, even if it's 10 minutes a day, where we are digging in the Word of God. Because the word that God has used most powerfully in my life over the years is the word I got as I read it for myself, in spite of the fact that I have been greatly blessed and enriched by the preaching of many great and godly men, both in person and by TV and radio and all of that. But the word that has had the greatest effect has been the word I've read. And we've got to do it, folks. We've got to do it. And dig a little deeper. And that's why I know we're not all wired that way, but I hear it, and I want to know what that word means. And as we dig, we learn more, and then we begin to assimilate it. At a certain point, we actually begin, you know, you eat your food, you chew it, you swallow it. Did you know that at that point it's not digested? And did you know that at that point it still hasn't done you any good? It's after it's fully digested that it becomes cells and becomes part of you. So hearing it is like sitting down and eating it. At that point, it hasn't done you any good yet. Number one, we listen attentively. Number two, we study, dig, research, focus, meditate. Number three, we take God's word to heart. And this is probably the biggest one of all, because it is in taking it to heart that it goes from hearing and knowledge to actual practice. We can know it, we can understand it, we can be able to say it back. Don't really take it to heart. And so, until it is really taken to heart, guess what happens? It's like food sitting in your stomach, undigested. Is that a pretty picture? What happens after a couple days and the food's sitting there, undigested? Not a real pretty picture. And it's not really doing us any good because we haven't really taken it to heart. That's where it goes from ingestion to digestion, is when we take it to heart. Number four, and we follow through. Okay, as a result, this is what I need to change in my life. Is there anything in your life you think the Lord wants to change? Or are you perfect? Are you there now? And I just end here with a few areas. Believe me, folks, this is just like a suggestion. This is just like, you'll have to make your own list. These are just some that, as a minister, I know often are areas of inattention in our lives, even us preachers, even those of us who know it so well. But these are areas we sometimes neglect. Number one, the practice of personal holiness. Oh, how that is missing in the church today. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and all of that, but there's very little personal holiness being practiced. And we allow ourselves to view things and hear things and read things and engage in conversations and stuff that just kill us spiritually. They don't take away our salvation, but they just murder us. And yet, as you read the New Testament, that word holiness is in there, folks. Some people are scared by that word because they picture, you know, some things from the past. But to live a separated life. Did Jesus live a separated life? Absolutely. He was constantly brushing shoulders with sinners and he spoke with them and all that. But his own life, he was fully separated unto the Lord. And at some point, you know, the Holy Spirit will convict us and bring us to a point where I'm not holy in myself. I'm holy because I've been made holy by the blood. But then there's a lifestyle that needs to flow from that. Can I hear an amen on that? There is. Number two, the practice of forgiveness. Oh, that's a big one. I've always said, and you've heard me say it, in order for a church to get along and really be productive for God, the people don't have to be perfect. They just need to know how to forgive. That's all. And in spite of our differences and the little hurts and the things that come up, as long as we know how to forgive and we practice forgiveness, We can keep right on being used of the Lord. Amen? It's when we start holding grudges and start shutting ourselves off and start being self-righteous and all that. Three, this is a big one. We'll just pass over it. Finances and giving may be one of the biggest areas where we fail to really take God's word to heart. And there's always so many reasons why we feel like maybe in our situation there's an exception. But until we really start doing what God says, we won't experience the blessings He's promised. Number four, parenting God's way. And we're going to be speaking on that some in the month of April. We can be Christians, and we can be in church, and we can love the Lord, and we can be parents, and still not parenting God's way. So God has something to say about everything, and there are so many. And then, of course, consistent and intentional witnessing. That's another one where we often do fall short because we're somewhat inattentive. But the point being, folks, let's get into the Word of God, and let's take God's Word to heart, and let's dig and let's study and let's stay close to the Word of God. You know, this is not a boring book. It really isn't. And if you really get into it, I mean, there may be parts you say, well, that's part here. I just don't understand. That's fine. Don't worry about that right now. Just keep reading, because sooner or later, something is going to get a hold of you. It's God's what? Inspired Word. And it's useful for teaching and instruction and correction and rebuking and all those things. For what? So that God's man, God's person can be thoroughly equipped, be mature and complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. Lord, cure our ADD. Shall we pray? Lord, you have said so many times, and you say it through the Old Testament as well, please listen, please hearken, please listen, please take to heart these words I'm speaking to you today, because they are your life. And Lord, how often we know your word, and yet we are inattentive, and whenever we are, we always pay the consequences in a weaker faith, in fluctuating faith, in stumbling or falling or whatever the other area may be. And so, Lord, I pray today that you will cure our ADD. Cure us of spiritual ADD, that we would no longer suffer from spiritual attention deficit disorder, but that we would be given our full attention to your word every single day, and that we would be looking, Lord, to put it into practice in our lives, by your help and by your guidance, and be living it. And Lord, I pray that today. And if there's any of us here today, we've become just a little lax, we've become a little slack, we've become a little inattentive, Lord, may this be a reminder to us to get back to the basics and get back to what you told us to do in the first place, knowing that when we do follow your word all the way through, it always produces wonderful fruit. Thank you for your holy word. Give us a heart for it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. If you don't know Jesus as Savior, would you please open your heart and receive him today? Come forward, we'll pray. You'll leave here a new creation in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you have any other kind of concern on your heart today or a praise, feel free to come and share that during our closing hymn.
Closing hymn is not-